This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Yes, since we have a medical professional here, we'll talk about a cast next time I break my arm. I've never broken a bone. I shouldn't say anything about that, though, because, you know, next week it'll happen, and then I'll be eating my words like that. So, Scott, in addition to this near-death experience, floating above the fray, as they say, that has happened in other cases I've heard about. What about your experience?
You know, I've never had an experience like that myself, and no other doctors had a story like that. There were all kinds of other stories, but there were no other stories of a near-death experience with a person floating. I'm sure that happens. I just happened to pick a selected group of doctors, and these are the stories that I heard. So that was the only near-death experience. There are other experiences that are equally unusual: dreams, premonitions, ghosts, visions, things like that. But no other near-death experience that I ran across.
Speaking of ghosts, we've got the guy here for you, Paul Kimball, being co-host of a show about ghosts called Haunted. Tell us the ghost story.
There were a couple ghost stories that were really good. I think my favorite is from Jack Heitzler, who's a gynecologist obstetrician. He delivered our third child. And our third child is still walking and talking and alive and well. His story is that of his wife, who was in the delivery room delivering their fifth child. He had a number of children. And he was in the delivery room, as was another gynecologist that was actually doing the delivery. And Joan was having some difficulty with the labor, and Joan's grandmother was a midwife. Her name was, they called her Grandma O'Hanlon. And Grandma O'Hanlon came from Ireland when there was a lot of controversy with the Catholics and the Protestants fighting, and her father sent her out of the country just because he wanted to make sure that she was safe. So she came to this country, became a midwife. And she became the spiritual leader of the family. She would do crazy things, like when she was taking the train into Chicago, she would have sandwiches for the beggars that would come up to her, and she'd even give them some money occasionally, and people would laugh at her, and they'd say, you know, they're just going to use that to buy alcohol. And she would say, God wants me to do this, and what they do with their money is their thing. And so she was quite an individual. And then when she became older, she couldn't deliver babies anymore, so she lived with Joan's mother in their house. And Joan would always say, if I could make it to Grandma Hanlon's lap — but she got in trouble with her mother — if I could make it to Grandma Hanlon's lap, I know I'd be safe. So Joan was delivering their fifth child, accomplished the delivery, and everything went well. But then she started to have a lot of pain after the delivery, and when they were doing some exploring and had to remove some of the placenta, things like that. So the normal thing to do in those days was to give a drug called Trilene, which is administered by masks. So they put a mask over the woman's face, they give her Trilene, she falls into a deep sleep, and they're able to accomplish their things, and then they wake her up fairly soon afterwards. And so Joan was about ready to get the Trilene. She was a little anxious about getting that. And Grandma Hanlon came in the room because she's a midwife and she had access to the room. And she stood at the foot of the bed and she shook her head that Joan shouldn't take the Trilene. And she was dressed in her usual polka dot little outfit, sweater vest, and her hair up in a bun, and old lady shoes. And Joan saw her and signaled to push the Trilene away. Well, no one realized that Joan had eaten a large meal right before she went into labor. And about 1 minute after she pushed the Trilene away, which would have put her into a very deep sleep, she vomited the entire meal. Had she had the mask on her face, she would have had a very serious complication of aspiration, which sometimes can be fatal if it's very serious. So Joan said that she made it through Grandma Hanlon's lap one last time, overcoming time and all eternity, because Grandma Hanlon had died 20 years before that.
As we say in the ghost hunting business, spooky. A good spooky, because it saved her life.
It really did. It really did. So I love that story, and it's quite a story. It's one of my favorites, the Grandma Hanlon story.
So here's the hard question, Scott, because I have to ask at least one hard question. Then I have an easy question afterwards. So we're talking about faith and unconditional love and how it can intervene and really save you, all that sort of stuff.
Sure.
Sounds great. Hope in a troubled world, as you say in your book, which
yes.
it is getting more troubled with each passing day. So here's the flip side, though. Why is it a troubled world? why are all these people, doctors above anyone else, except maybe police officers or first responders, see the worst in, especially emergency room doctors, can see the worst in society. So if there's the benevolent, all-loving God out there who can intervene in these positive ways, why do we have these negative stories in the first place? So when you were talking, and I don't want to put you personally on the hot seat, although I am, but when you were talking to a lot of these doctors, did this ever come up as, how do you wrestle with this, that there seems to be this positive force that can help folks, but at the same time, 6 million dead in the Holocaust, I can just list the 20th century. Where was the positive force for them? So how do you reconcile that?
I've struggled with this, and many doctors have struggled with the answer to that question. And I finally heard a TED Talk that gave me the answer to this. And the TED Talk was by a minister from England. And it was a great talk. And he talked about how some strange things happened, like the tsunami in Malaysia and Thailand, and how there was a church, for example, that normally would meet on Sunday when the tsunami came on the beach. And for this one particular Sunday, they decided to have their church service in the mountains, where they were very safe. And hundreds of people were killed and injured, and they were all safe. He said, "Well, why did that happen? Why did God or the universe or whatever you want to call it have those people go up in the mountain, and the rest of the people were killed or hurt badly?" His conclusion was a very profound conclusion, and his conclusion was, "We don't know." and that's my conclusion, Gene. I don't know why there are some people that are saved, why a person has a terrible cancer and suddenly miraculously cured. I've had that happen. I had a patient that had a terrible cancer. We put her in the hospital. She had cancer, a breast cancer around her heart and her liver and her lungs, everywhere. And she had all the chemotherapy, all the hormonal manipulations, all the radiation that she can get. She failed in everything. We sent her home, and I kept seeing her every month, thinking she's going to be in real trouble and die any minute. And I kept seeing her every month, and after about 9 months, I thought, why don't we get some additional scans and find out what's going on here? And it was gone. The cancer was gone. So I can't explain that. I think someday we'll know, but I think there is bad in the world, and there's good in the world, and some people have miraculous things happen to them, and other people don't. I do believe that there's a place where we all go eventually where we will learn why that is. And I think that place is some place that will give us peace and an understanding. But for right now, all I can say is the answer is I don't know.
I often think about that place that can give me peace and understanding, and it usually winds up being Burger King for me. I really hope the afterlife is more interesting than Burger King or Wendy's or McDonald's. No offense to those burger joints.
There was a movie once. I forget who was in it. I know Meryl Streep was one of the people, and I forget who was the star of the movie. But it ended up that they could eat whatever they wanted in this waste station between here and there, and it wouldn't cause them any weight problem.
I want to go to that place.
As somebody who has to host a television show, I want to go to that place, too. Put 20 pounds on from eating cheeseburgers. The irony is, by going to all those burger joints, I'm moving myself much more quickly to finding the answer to the question I just asked, which is what lies beyond. Probably. So, and as I say that, I get a twinge in my upper left chest. Perfect. I'm sure it's a muscle pain. Another question I'd have, and this one, there's a forum user at Gene's show. They have a sort of online forum. And he wrote, in a slightly different context, but when I was on talking about my ghost hunting show, and he said, as a statement of fact, without equivocation, that life after death is impossible, period. Now, he's not a scientist. You are. So I thought, and I actually wrote this in the Paracast forums, I said, so that's a non-scientist telling me that life after death is literally impossible. I thought I'd ask a scientist and a doctor who's dealt with this stuff, do you think it's actually impossible that there might be life after death?
And you know what? We can now break and get the answer on the other side. With Scott, Gene, and Paul, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start Program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote. Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-7740. That's 800-610-7740. 800-610-7740.
With nearly 70 years of history engineering bunkers, today, Atlas Survival Shelters is still the authority. Atlas offers 18 different choices, from commercial tornado shelters to underground nuclear fallout shelters, starting at just $99.99, with 100% financing available. Comfortable interiors and state-of-the-art air filtration systems. Atlas Survival Shelters are the most popular private survival shelters in the world. Call 1-855-4-BUNKER now, or visit AtlasSurvivalShelters.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, he's trying to bring out his inner Frank Sinatra there.
Just trying to keep it fresh.
And unfortunately, it stays in. I'm kidding. I will not comment about singing at all. Scott, you had the question there. A response?
Let me give you a story to answer that question, if you don't mind. I'm going to tell you a story from Noemi Sigalov. Noemi Sigalov is a general surgeon. She is unusual because she is a female surgeon, and traditionally that's a male occupation. And when she tried to get into residency, everyone told her that this is not for ladies and it's going to be too hard and so forth, which just cemented her determination to do that. And she is an excellent surgeon. She was the only female surgeon in her residency program of about 35 males and one female. And they made fun of her a little bit. They called her the girl. But she did it, and she succeeded. And she's a great surgeon. And she tells a story about taking care of a couple missionary people. Ron was the fellow's name. They were both doctors, and they were missionaries in Central Africa. They operated on and took care of lots and lots of the people in Africa their whole life. And when they finally had to retire, they came back here. And she was seeing the wife for some medical conditions and surgical condition. Whenever they'd see her in the office, they would say, and she, Dr. Sigalov admits that she doesn't have an organized religion. She doesn't go to church. But they would always ask her how she's doing spiritually. Some doctors would get offended by this, but the way they asked her, she said, was in such a kind, loving way that she was never offended. And one of the last visits they had together, the fellow, Ron, said, "Someday I'm going to show you that there is life after death, that God exists and that there's something else when we leave the earth." And she said, that's nice. And you know, she was very kind and didn't make fun of him at all. So they lost contact with each other, and she never saw them again. But one day, Dr. Sigalov was planning a three-day vacation to your neck of the woods, Gene. She was going to Tucson. And she was going to leave early in the morning, but she had a case that night before because she was on call and had to operate real late at night. And so she had to make rounds really early in the morning because her flight was leaving later in the morning and she had to see this person. So as she's going to the hospital, there was almost no one there. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning. And she opened the doors of the hospital. And as she opened the door, there was a blast of air that came at her. And it's not unusual to have that happen. But what she saw then in her mind's eye was a vision of Ron. And she hadn't thought about him or seen him for years. And he was dressed in white, and he had a smile on his face. And she said the smile was a smile that made her believe that he had accomplished an incredible mission in his life. And then she was so taken back by this vision that she said, "Hi, friend." And everything disappeared, and she looked around to make sure that no one heard her, no one saw her, because she was a little embarrassed that she'd even talked to nothing in front of her. And she made her rounds, and she went on her trip, on her vacation. And she never likes to check her email when she's on vacation because there's always something that upsets you. So she shuts everything off. And when she was coming back in the airport in Tucson, she checked her email, and there was an email that gave her goosebumps. And the email said, was from the vice president of the hospital. It said, I regret to inform you that Ron so-and-so, a good friend of the hospital, a longtime missionary, died suddenly on Friday morning at 2 a.m. She made rounds at 4 a.m., and she saw his vision at 4 a.m. You ask me, this is a responsible, ordinary kind of a doc, who has a vision of a person that had died and then smiled as if he accomplished the major mission in his life to show her that there is something after life, that there is a life after death. And she checked the records just to make sure the time of his death, and it was 2 a.m., and she had made rounds and saw him at 4 a.m. So the answer to your question, is there life after death? I don't know if I can ever prove it for the 100% certainty, but some of these doctors have had some unusual experiences that make me believe that there is something after life.
Yeah, I hear a lot of those stories too, and not just doing not as often doing the ghost investigating show, but just throughout my career as an historian or studying folklore, just talking to folks. My grandfather was a Reformed Baptist minister. You hear those, you know, a lot of those stories sort of pop up, and people say that they see people, they sort of, to them, it emerges as proof of life after death. So can't prove it in court of law. So it takes it out of the beyond a reasonable doubt, but on the balance of probabilities, it becomes an interesting question to look at. I wanted to ask you about, if Gene's okay with that, about dreams, because you talk in your book, or you talk to people in your book who talk about dreams. One of the stories that I found interesting because I was involved in a car accident many years ago when I was younger. I wrote about it in my own book, and how similar circumstances to what you describe in your book, Luis Manrique.
Yes.
Talks about the chapter as if I had been buckled. And it sort of resonated with me because I kind of had a near-death experience having to do with a car accident like that, too. Maybe you could tell the story of Luis Manrique, because it also touches upon the concept of dreams and how people maybe can see or hear things in their dreams that have a practical impact, if you will, in the real world.
Sure. Luis is an infectious disease doctor here in our hospital, and he's a great infectious disease doctor, and I use him all the time for various pneumonias or whatever comes around that I can't quite feel comfortable handling. And he told me an interesting story. He's from Peru, and it's interesting, in Peru, they have to take a test to see if they're good enough to become go to medical school. And I think there are like 20,000 people that take this test every year, and it's something like 80 people that are chosen. I think 40 people are chosen to be able to matriculate into medical school, and he was one of the 40. So he's a bright guy, and he was in medical school, and this is the book part of medical school, and it's really a lot of studying, and it's really, really rough. And he was unusually tired one night, and he went to bed, and he slept in his own private bedroom. And he had his eyes closed, and then sometime in the middle of the night, he's not sure when, he could see, you know how even if your eyes are closed, you can tell that there's a light in the room. The light became brighter and brighter and brighter. Now, he was a little afraid to open his eyes because he was afraid that this might be real. So he couldn't tell if it was real or if it was a dream. And then he heard this voice from behind him. And that was also unusual because his bed, the head of his bed, was against the wall. So this was a voice coming from where the wall was. And the voice was a kind and loving kind of a voice. And the voice said, "You'll be okay. You're not going to be hurt." He quieted his breathing down so he could hear the rest of the story. And there was no other voice, no other words were said. And then the light seemed to fade away. And then he went back into a deep sleep. Now, he's not sure if that was a dream or if it was real, but again, he was afraid to open his eyes. And later on, he said to me, "I wish I would have opened my eyes to see what was going on, but I was afraid to open my eyes. This was so unusual. I never had this experience before." Well, the next day, he woke up. The dream was still with him, but you know how most dreams are. You realize that, you know, you had this dream, it was kind of interesting, and then you forget about it. And so he forgot about the dream, and he was going to class, and this was a Friday, and then they had some tests, and it was a busy day, and the medical students decided that they'd go out for a couple beers at the local pub afterwards and celebrate the end of the week, and they had nothing going on the next day, so they did.
We'll have the rest of the story with Scott, Paul, and Jean. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that'll be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, J.P. Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Message and data rates may apply.
Oh, my gosh. That's Frank Thomas.
No.
Yes, that's him. Go ahead.
Excuse me. Are you Frank Thomas?
Yes, I am.
I bet you get recognized a lot.
I was a pretty good ball player.
You were?
Some people thought so.
Sorry. We recognize you from those Nugenix commercials.
Oh, yeah? That's great.
So does Nugenix really work?
Oh, yeah. I really can feel the difference. My workouts are better, and I feel a lot more energetic.
I wish my husband would use Nugenix.
It's so easy to get started. All you have to do is send one simple text.
Text the word PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And you're going to like the difference, too.
Text PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of Nugenix. Samples are not available in stores. Text PRIME44 to 42424.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We continue here with Dr. Scott Kalbaba. And the book is called Physicians Untold Stories. And he's telling us a fascinating tale now. And we started with this group of people going out and maybe having a couple of beers to relax. Scott, continue, please.
So these are medical students, and they're always exhausted. So after a couple of beers, you can imagine how exhausted they were. They're half asleep, and they can't keep up with their friends. So they decide to leave, you know, fairly early. And after a couple of beers, they're not used to drinking beers because they're studying all the time. And so they're a little on the high side. And when they got out into the cold air, they woke up a little bit and they opened the windows and started to yell and had a good time. And they had a designated driver, but the designated driver had as many beers as they had. So it's not clear why they had a designated driver. Anyway, the designated driver, Manuel, was driving the car, and they got a little silly. They were crossing a viaduct, and as they were crossing this bridge, the Manuel started to swerve back and forth, just having fun. And Luis was in the passenger seat and became a little afraid, and he decided to buckle up. So Manuel, in an unusual voice, an unusual manner, said, "You don't need to buckle." And Luis was taken aback by the suddenness of his words and the force with which he said that, because that wasn't like him at all. And so he released the buckle immediately. Well, about 2 seconds after that, Manuel came to a sudden turn, and he couldn't navigate the turn. So the car rolled over, and those are the last words that Manuel was able to speak, because the door of the driver's side door flew open. He was ejected out, and he died a couple of days later in the hospital. The car rolled over multiple times, and when it came to a stop, Luis was actually pushed over into the driver's seat, and he looked over to where he was sitting, the passenger side, and the entire top of the car was crushed down into the passenger seat. Had he been sitting there, he would have been crushed to death. Had he been buckled, his life would have been over. And he had goosebumps when he realized what had happened. Well, the other people in the back of the car were still there, and so Luis decided to get out and run to the nearest station, police, or I think it was a fire station, to get some help. So he ran there, got the fire department. He took them back to where the car was. They helped the people that were injured in the back of the car, and he sat on the curb, and then he suddenly realized, he looked around, and one of the paramedics came to him and said, "Can I help you? Are you hurt?" And he looked at his arms, he looked at his legs. There were no cuts, no scratches, nothing. He was covered with glass from the windshield, but he was not hurt at all. And suddenly, he remembered his dream from the night before that he would not be hurt. And he again had goosebumps, realizing that he had must have been visited by some visitor that came from somewhere that we don't normally communicate with, that told him that he was not going to be hurt at all. And he went back home, and he's a very religious kind of an individual, and he got on his knees right away and said a prayer thanking his father, his heavenly father, for saving his life and not having be injured at all. Unfortunately, Manuel died, was ejected from the car. So he still doesn't know exactly whether this was a dream or not a dream, but it was something that he never experienced before or since.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you spend enough time talking about, particularly in the Atlantic Canadian region in which I live, but there's a reason Stephen King wrote, you know, so many novels set in Maine. It's embedded in our folklore and our mythology here. The idea of forerunners, as we would call them, other cultures have different names for them. They can appear to you in dreams, or they can appear to you in waking dreams, or in all sorts of synchronicities or deja vu, all sorts of weird things that give you this idea of something that's coming, usually traumatic, frankly. You rarely get a forerunner saying you're going to win the lotto. Uh-huh. But this idea that these stories are embedded in our tradition, our history, and to hear doctors talk about them, you know, scientists, is sort of a bit of an interesting, not culture shock for me, but just a shock, we'll say a shock. I'm a former musician. I'm a former a lot of things. So when I was younger, I left the practice of law behind to play in a rock band. And so your chapter, Music in the Emergency Department, is it Robin Meraz? Is that how you would say his last name?
Yeah.
I like that one, and perhaps you could tell that story. I also hate that one because it brings in my fear of any medical procedure, because a simple procedure that goes very, very badly that you wouldn't, you know, in the aftermath expect. So that one frightens me, but the story's fascinating, and I love it because there's a musical angle to it, but it also talks about this idea of a place beyond death. Perhaps you could tell that story, because it's actually a pretty fun and uplifting story, except for the one part that I hate.
In answer to your former comment too, Paul, you know, the book is all physicians. Mm-hmm. And I did that on purpose because physicians traditionally have been scientists. And to have scientists tell stories that are totally unscientific really is interesting to me. And I think it lends some credibility to these stories, because these are people that believe in science. They have believed in scientific method. We talk about, doing evidence-based medicine and giving people medications and so forth based on evidence that has accumulated over the years. This particular thing works and this one doesn't and so forth. So it was very interesting for me to have so many doctors come out with stories that are totally unscientific, and it can't be explained by science alone. Mm-hmm. The one about music in the emergency room was one of my favorites. Robin Meraz, one of the things I learned in talking with these docs is some of their history. The doctors are fascinating individuals. Robin Meraz is an emergency room doc. She's a female. And she always wanted to be an ER doc because there's a lot of adrenaline in the ER, and she loves to be in this situation that's life and death. And if you make the wrong decision, you're in real trouble. Mm-hmm. And so she loves that excitement in the ER. She also is an interesting individual because she runs the marathon, about her second or third marathon. And she's an individual that believes in making a goal. And if she is insistent upon achieving that goal, and she'll do everything to achieve that goal. And one of her marathons was a particularly hot day, and she got to about mile 20, and she got dehydrated. She threw up, and she lost her vision. And she said to me, when I lost my vision, I knew there was something seriously wrong. And so she stopped running, obviously. She sat down, cooled off, got her blood pressure back, evidently, got some liquids. Her husband came to her and said, it's time to go home. And she said, no, I'm finishing this marathon. And she got her vision back. She got hydrated, and she indeed did finish the marathon. So that's the kind of individual that we're dealing with here in the ER. So she tells a story about Cleveland, who is a fellow that had renal failure. And when you have renal failure, you are in dialysis quite commonly, and that's what he was getting ready for. And there's a procedure where they connect an artery and a vein in the wrist or in the arm to use for the dialysis. And he had this procedure done, and the artery is the high pressure system. So what happened was one or two of the stitches came loose in his surgery, and he started to bleed. And this is a pumper, you know, the artery is a pumper. So when you have a hole in the artery, every time the heart pumps, you pump blood out. So he was rapidly losing blood. His wife came into the living room where he was. The living room was covered with blood. She called the paramedics, and they took him right to the hospital. By the time he got to the hospital, he was white as a ghost, and he was unconscious, and he had no blood pressure. And Dr. Meraz knew that he, because they radioed ahead, that he had no blood pressure when they found him. And she thought, this guy's dead. But she had an experience in a residency where a person had come back when they got enough blood. So she said, let's give it a try. Let's see if we can resuscitate him. They put about two or three IVs in, big bore IVs. They squeezed the blood in, and they gave him a bunch of blood. And after a couple hours, he woke up, and he actually came back. And his first words were very interesting. He said, take me back to that room that has the music. And Dr. Meraz said to him, Cleveland, we don't play music in the emergency room. And he went on. Then Robin looked at the nurse, and they both knew what was going on. And he went on to describe this room that was white, that was beautiful, it had this unusual music with instruments that he'd never heard before, and that it was so peaceful, he wanted to go back to that room to listen to that music again.
Let's break it here and learn more about the place with the music. With Scott and Paul and Gene, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
ProPure Water Filters, most trusted, most tested. Right now you can save 25% on the ProPure Nomad Gravity System. Visit an authorized ProPure dealer for details. That's P-R-O-P-U-R.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level. That's advertise.gcnlive.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun. which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Use discount code GCN and receive 15% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter and get your bug assault today.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I thought Paul would burst into song there, but he won't. We've got another radio show for you to listen to called After the Paracast, where we never know what's going to happen next. We continue this show. We have other guests. All sorts of unexpected things. It's also part of the Paracast Plus package. We give you the version of this show free of the network ads and more features for low subscription price. For more information, go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Scott, you're telling us a story here where he remembers this room with this strange music. Go on, please.
So Cleveland was actually mad at Dr. Mraz that he couldn't go back to that room. And he also was mad at his wife. And he said to his wife, you know, where did you bring me? And she said to him, where the heck do you think I brought you? I brought you right to the hospital. So he really couldn't believe that was the case and was a little skeptical about where she actually brought him. But Robin and the nurse that took care of him have a pretty good idea that he wasn't on Earth when he was hearing that music. There was something else, and he was probably dead when he heard that music and then came back. And he still wanted to stay in that room where the music was so beautiful. I kind of like the story.
Yeah, so do I. And it opens up a whole wide range of debates with a ton of friends of mine about what kind of music will be playing for us when we, so I have, you know, one friend might be listening to Beethoven, another one might be listening to the Ramones.
Sure.
So if you wind up in the, you know, in hell, the one who wants to listen to Beethoven could wind up with the Ramones and vice versa, which would be using music for both good and evil.
Good observation, Paul.
Yeah. It's also, I mean, if I had to go to hell, I could probably listen to music that I don't want to listen to as opposed to some of the alternatives. That's maybe not so bad. How has your book been received by doctors who are not in your book, if you know what I mean? Like people you work with, but also maybe reviewers or people within the medical community. How have they looked at it?
I was really worried about the response I would get because I thought people would say this, you know, these are kind of hokey stories and these are kind of bizarre and, you know, what kind of a doctor are you? And I'm not going to go to you anymore because you believe in this crazy stuff. And just the opposite happened, Paul. It was surprising. And when it started to happen was when we launched the book. We had a number of the doctors, not everyone showed up, but we have quite a few of the doctors that were in the book show up for the launch. And they were treated like heroes, like they had the courage enough to come out with stories that many people have. And I think in telling these stories to patients, because I love to tell stories, and I always tell my patients some of these stories, And it's surprising to me that many people have had similar experiences. And when they hear a story like this, they say, thank you for coming out with these stories or this story, because now I don't feel so bad about telling my story. And then they're telling me their story about a miraculous experience too. And I think, just from my limited experience with telling stories and listening to people, my suspicion is that most people or most families have had a story like this, and they're afraid to tell anyone. And the response that I've had from patients, from doctors, from everyone is incredibly positive. Thank you for coming out with these stories. Thank you for sharing this with us. I feel so much more hopeful about life. I'm more optimistic. It helps me deal with the death of my mother. Thank you for having these courageous doctors actually put their names on these stories and admit that they had these unusual experiences that no one has admitted to before.
Did any of the doctors whose stories you quoted report to you any experiences from people who read the book?
Yeah, they're universally positive. I don't think I've had one doctor say they had any negative comments at all. Yeah, I was very surprised. I was very surprised about that. And I think that speaks to the fact that, again, many people have these experiences also, and they feel good that these scientists have come out with stories that you can't explain scientifically.
Okay, here's another one of those tough questions,
sure.
Or theoretically tough, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But we live in an age where science is under attack, and it's becoming harder and harder in some cases, and I won't talk about American politics, but in Canada, we had a government here for 10 years that those of us who are progressive certainly saw an attack on science, a muzzling of scientists, and this idea that we live in a even though we're moving forward in terms of all our technology and everything and the things we can do, we're sort of becoming, as a society, less scientific, if you will. Is there a danger? No, let me not phrase it like that. How do you reconcile the two in terms of making sure that while these stories can be told and they should be told mm-hmm. and they can be hopeful and uplifting and all that sort of
yeah.
stuff,
yeah.
that you don't have people going out and saying, you know what, my doctor prescribed me, a statin for high blood. No, statins go for cholesterol. I can't remember. That's why I didn't go. I used to be on it. That's why I didn't go to medical school. I couldn't remember these things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, or my after surgery, my doctor told me this. Or, frankly, my doctor wants me to undergo chemotherapy for cancer, and I think I'm just going to pray it away. That's a sort of a fine line to walk or, a narrow needle hole, if you will, to thread. So how do we balance those two as we tell these stories but also don't undermine the science that underlines medicine?
These are great questions. This is a phenomenal question because – it speaks about these doctors that have had these experiences, and will they do something unusual when a person comes in with a particular illness, and will they say, let's just pray over it and not treat you with conventional medicine? And I think virtually all the doctors, including myself, believe in the scientific method and science, and believe that if a person has a high cholesterol and they're at risk for heart disease, you treat them with a statin, and that will help. And so, but there are times when you have a premonition or a feeling or something that you just can't explain, and you try to balance that with science and try to listen to that. My partner, for example, John Bourne, will frequently tell me that after he sees a person, he may have this funny premonition or funny feeling that he needs to do something. And unless it's really bizarre or crazy, he'll frequently listen to that voice, to that little premonition. And one of the cases was a person that had he was pre-opping for a total joint surgery. And he had a feeling after he did the pre-op and after the fellow went home that he needed the stress test. And so it wasn't too out of the realm of normal to do a stress test because he had a few risk factors. And so they tried to convince the guy to do a stress test, and the fellow refused. And he finally said, well, I'm not going to clear you unless you have a stress test. Well, he had a stress test. He failed the stress test badly, needed a bypass surgery. He might have died in his orthopedic surgery if he hadn't had the stress test. So I think it's important that we balance things that virtually all the doctors that I've dealt with that are in this book believe in science and believe in doing the conventional straight arrow things in medicine. But there are some things that you just can't explain and some feelings that you get that you just can't ignore. And I think we all have those. And the point in the book is listen to those. And if they make sense, maybe you should pay attention to some of that stuff. Maybe there's a dream that you had that is trying to tell you something. But as a fine line, Paul, you're absolutely right, between conventional medicine and something that is way off. And again, most of the virtually all the doctors in this book believe in conventional medicine, but they still believe that there may be something else out there that may help us in our day-to-day lives and in our day-to-day diagnoses sometimes.
You said most of the doctors believe in conventional medicine.
They all do.
All the doctors do. Okay, so yeah. We don't have any chiropractors here. We don't have people who do acupuncture or anything.
I mean, none of the doctors in the book do that, but I think acupuncture has its place. I think chiropractic has its place. There's a chiropractor in the book that does a great job with some patients. So there's lots of different kinds of medical treatments that do work.
Yeah, I have friends. Actually, my wife goes to a chiropractor, and I sometimes tease her, you know, the Homer Simpson episode where he becomes a chiropractor and he just throws people on trash cans. And I say, but it works for her. She swears by it. So, which the Homer Simpson thing reminds me too, when I was asking you about religion earlier, the great Homer Simpson line, as his car's going over a cliff, he just says, "Jesus, Allah, Buddha, I love you all," to sort of cover all of his bases, just in case.
Of course, I've gone to a chiropractor too, and Consumer Reports magazine did a survey on the efficacy of different medical practices and said that, you know, in certain cases, chiropractic does work, and certainly, if anything else, it's a lot less invasive than certain types of surgery where there is no predicting what might happen. At least you can try this first.
Sure, I agree.
What'd you say?
I agree.
Okay. Dr. Scott Kalbaba with Gene and Paul. You're in.
We're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Dr. Carolyn Dean wants you to have a free chapter of her new book, The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition, and it's available at magmiracle.com. In your free chapter, Dr. Carolyn Dean explains how magnesium is essential to support the structure and function and overall health of your body. Your free chapter is your guide to learn how to support your heart, bone, metabolic, lung, and mental health with this powerful mineral. The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition is available on Amazon, but right now get a free chapter at magmiracle.com, spelled M-A-G, miracle.com.